98. Every morning from 10, 98FM's Dublin Talks keeps you up to date with COVID-19. Dublin Talks. Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.
Now, over the last few, you may find this hard to believe, over the last few months, given that COVID-19 has been with us since around the start of March and we're nearly into July, we've never actually had a discussion where people spoke to us who have had COVID-19 about what it actually did to them physically. Some people who got it recovered fairly quickly. Some people who were diagnosed positive never even knew they had it. Just had a little bit of a cough. Others are still feeling the effects of it months later. So this was brought to our attention by two listeners who contacted us yesterday to talk about the experience of COVID-19. And following the show, we were contacted by many listeners who had had the virus. Over 12,000 Dubliners have had it, by the way. It's been the highest concentration in the whole country, which stands to reason, bearing our population is over a third of the whole country's population. But nearly 12,000 or over 12,000 Dubliners have had it. So we decided to talk to people who have had this virus and find out how it affected them. Now, it could have been extremely mild. If so, I'd like to hear from you on 6797981. You can text, WhatsApp, or send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 98 98 98. We were talking in the office just the other day about, you know, do you know somebody who had it? No, I don't. And other people say, no, I don't. Now, me personally, I know of one person that I would see frequently enough who had it. And other than that, I just know of people who know of people. I know of one person that I will most likely see in the next couple of weeks. But other than that, I know of nobody. So we want to hear, and we want people who have had this virus to talk about it and let us know what it was like, because the one thing we are absolutely certain about at this moment in time is this virus isn't going to disappear. It's not going away anytime soon. We obviously, the figures that we're getting lately are very encouraging. Only 5 new cases yesterday confirmed here in Ireland, and that's from a high of 800-900 a day. So we're doing really, really well. However, we haven't obliterated it. And as soon as we open up our borders, we can expect more cases to pop up here and there. We've seen in other countries how they've had to have local lockdowns because of flare-ups of the virus. But my question to you is, if you are one of the 12,000 plus people in Dublin, the 25,000 plus people around the country who had this virus, let us know what the experience was like. And if it was, well, I got tested positive, but I never knew I had it, we'd also like to hear from you on 6797981. As I said, you can send me a text, a WhatsApp, or a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 98 98 98. Because over the last few months, it's been our number one topic of conversation. It's all we've talked about. It's all our news has featured. We've all become obsessed with looking at the figures of many cases there are and many deaths there have been and all of that. But many of us don't even know anybody who ever had it or have not even heard people talk about it. Here's a couple of messages that we got into our programme yesterday. This is a message from a lady called Claire. And Claire had COVID-19.
Absolutely, precisely right, Adrian. Like, I had the coronavirus and I'm still lethargic. Still. And I had it 2 months ago. I mean, honestly, it's tough.
Okay, it's tough, she said. So she had it 2 months ago and is still dealing with the effects of it. And this is from Dolores. Oh, sorry, there you
are. This is Dolores. My husband had COVID-19 11 weeks ago and he's still not well. And I'd like to say to that girl, Lucy, she has no heart. If she went through what a lot of people went through, lying in hospital for weeks.
Yeah, you see, we know that a lot of people have been to hospital with this virus. And you didn't go to hospital unless you were fairly unwell with it. We know, sadly, over 1,700 people in the Republic of Ireland have died from this virus. we seem to have this kind of dismissive attitude, some people do at least, that, well, look, I'm not vulnerable to it. I'm not going to get very sick and I'm not in my 80s, so I'm not going to die. But sadly, people have been very, very sick as a result of this. Kieran, good morning and welcome to 98 FM.
Good morning, Adrian.
You did have the coronavirus.
That's right, yeah.
Tell me firstly how you discovered that you may have it and what led you to get tested.
Basically, in mid-March, I had a started off with a slight cough. Again, I didn't really think much of it, but I started to progress into a more heavy kind of cough. And after a couple of days, my temperature began to rise. So I rang the GP and he told me to make my way straight down to the hospital, which I did. They kept me in for a couple of hours, ran a couple of tests and swabbed me. I was then told to go home and isolate for 14 days. That would have been on a Monday. And then by the Friday, I was struggling to breathe. So my partner brought me back into the hospital where I was brought to resuscitation. And the following day, placed into an induced coma.
Wow. And how long were you in that coma?
It turned out to be 16 days. They weren't expecting it to be that long, but my lungs weren't responding. After a couple of days, they began proning me, and my lungs stopped breathing essentially for 2 or 3 days. The ventilator was what was keeping me breathing, keeping me alive.
And let me ask you, because this is obviously one of the things that people use to dismiss it. Did you have any underlying conditions?
No.
No.
Nothing at all. A healthy 33-year-old.
I was about to say, are you 83? No.
No. And again, I would have been on the attitude that, I mean, I took every precaution possible, and my main concern was spreading it as opposed to contracting it, because I thought, being young, my body could deal with it. But I couldn't have been more wrong.
And let me focus you, 16 days in induced coma in order to help you recover. You were on a ventilator for 3 of those days.
No, for the full 16 days.
Oh, sorry, you were on the ventilator for the full 16? Oh, right, sorry. Yeah.
It was 3 days where my lungs weren't responding.
Right, okay, so this was very serious.
I was extremely lucky, Adrian, yeah.
This was close to death experience.
Yeah.
And obviously, they eventually got you out of it, got you out of the induced coma, and you obviously, because I can hear you now, you've made a recovery. Has it been a full recovery?
No. Because of the coma, when it was explained to me that when my body was fighting the infection, it calls on all the stored fats and muscle from around the body, and it has left 2 nerves in my left leg exposed.
What do you mean exposed?
Getting pain. The way it was described to me, Adrian, was it's like a wire inside a plug. If you remove the cabling from around the wire, you now have the copper wire that's bouncing around, hitting off everything. And that's what's happened to me.
And this is as a result of that 16 days in the induced coma where your body more or less shut down everything else to try and fight this virus?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is scary.
Yeah. Different doctors have different theories. One neurologist said he reckons it was due to I lost 2 stone while I was in sleep for the 16 days. Others believe now that the virus actually attacks the nerve system. But it's left me in excruciating pain. I'm on 9 tablets a day. I can barely walk. Sleep is hit and miss. The fully function of my foot, cord of my toes, everything is pretty much non-existent at the moment.
And again, just to stress this point, you would be in the statistics of the 25,000 plus who've had this virus. Thank God you're not in the statistics of the 1,700 who have died from it. But you are somebody who, as a result of having this virus, are still quite ill.
Still very ill.
I assume you're not back to work or anything, are you?
No. Like, I'm at home. It's as well as battling the illness, it's the emotional, the psychological side after a certain amount of time does start to take its toll when every day becomes Groundhog Day, more or less.
Yeah.
And that's very hard to deal with.
Oh, like I said, a fit, healthy, active 33-year-old, no underlying health conditions, and you literally got knocked for 6, and that's an understatement when I say that. And do you know how you got the virus?
No, I've no idea. The doctors couldn't. I mean, I took every precaution possible. I kept my distance in work. I kept my distance outside of work from people. My parents, who are elderly, when I went to see them, I would speak to them in the garden, and I'm sure the neighbours probably thought I was crazy doing all that.
Because this was before all of this really kicked off, yeah.
Absolutely. This would have been February, March time, early March. You know, I was just worried about spreading it to vulnerable people without realising that I myself was actually going to end up vulnerable to it.
And there's no, you've no idea who it was, because we didn't have contact tracing and all of that then. So you don't know how you got it. All you know is you did get it and you were very seriously ill from it.
I still haven't heard of anyone else who I know personally who has had the virus either.
So you're the only anyone in your whole circle at the time that you would have contracted it, nobody had it, so you'd no idea how you came in contact with this virus?
No whatsoever.
That's very scary, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I live with my partner and she's still healthy, thank God.
So, like I said, one of the things I wanted to talk about today was we haven't spoken to many people who had COVID-19. We've spoken to people on and off over the last couple of weeks, but I want to find out really about the effect of it. And yours was very, very serious. And you're not 83. You're not in a nursing home. You're just somebody who contracted it somehow, somewhere. Mm. And, okay, you're on the road to recovery, but by the sounds of it, Kieran, it's a long road to recovery.
It will be a long road. I was physiotherapy in the hospital. I was told last 2 weeks ago that I could be there for 6 months. My GP told me to get my mind set straight on and, you know, look at reality that I could be 12 months this way. You can't really predict how it's going to heal, if it will heal fully.
Okay, stay there for 1 second, Kieran. 6797981 is our telephone number. You can text, WhatsApp, or send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 989898. 0877 989898. If you had coronavirus, COVID-19, over the last 4 months, what was the experience like? Because we know 12,000 people in Dublin have had it. Now, that, in population terms, is still a very small percentage of the population. But they're only the ones that were diagnosed positive, that were certified to have it. There could have been much more than that who actually had it. But 12,000 in the whole population of Dublin is relatively small, considering. But if you were diagnosed positive with COVID-19, I'd like to hear from you and find out what your experience was like. You can call us on 6797981 or send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 989898. Now, Claire, you had all of the symptoms of this virus.
Yeah, and I think knocked for six isn't an overstatement. It was absolutely terrifying.
Now, how come you didn't get tested?
I got tested.
Oh, you got tested?
Yeah. But and it came back positive. But,
Oh, sorry, you did come back positive?
Yeah. So I went to the place by the, near kind of North City. I can't remember the place, but it was terrifying at the time because I couldn't breathe and I had to get a lift from my sister because the fatigue was just insane. Like, I couldn't even get out of bed. It was that bad.
Right, okay. So would you describe it as being like a very bad flu or...?
I think it's way worse than a flu. It's definitely worse than a flu. Like, I don't normally get flus, which is kind of the weird thing. So yeah. I couldn't believe I actually got the coronavirus in the first instance, but...
Okay, so even going for the test was a terrifying experience.
Yeah. It was terrifying. It was. Yeah.
And when... Okay, so you difficulty breathing, you'd all the same sort of symptoms that we've heard a lot about.
Yeah.
When you were diagnosed positive, what happened from there?
Well, I couldn't really get out of bed. I had to rest for ages.
Hmm. And like, spent how long in bed?
About 4 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, it was really bad. And like, I have no underlying conditions or anything like that, so I just couldn't believe it. I mean, it was a shock to me because I always wash my hands and I put the face mask on. I know that doesn't, you know, but it was absolutely horrifying, to be fair.
And when you started feeling a bit better and got up and about and, you know, back to life again, did all the symptoms leave you, or are you still living with what you think is the effect of it?
The only thing that's left is the fatigue. The breathing and the cough, those things are sorted, but the tiredness still remains.
And this was a fatigue you'd never experienced before, was it?
Never in my entire life, ever.
So now, on a daily basis, you get hit with this, can't get up and get going.
It kind of seems like it's lingering there a bit.
Mm.
You know, that's how I feel at the moment. But yeah, it certainly takes a toll, put it like that.
And like I said, you know, an awful lot of people, would you be in a vulnerable category yourself?
No, not at all. Like, I have no underlying conditions, and I'm 32, I'm relatively young, I suppose.
Okay, so you're only a year younger than Kieran there a moment ago, a fit and healthy 33-year-old who ended up in intensive care.
Yeah, at least I didn't get that bad.
No, and that's, it's a very strange illness, the way it affects different people in different ways, and you're a fit and healthy 32-year-old.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, really.
Yeah, it doesn't, and it didn't knock you in the same way that it knocked Kieran, and I think it's going to be years before we actually understand all of that and why it affects some people in some ways and different people. And okay, and the question the point that I was making is a lot of people are very dismissive of this. I remember reading earlier on that the Brazilian president described it as just a bad flu. It's more than a bad flu.
Yeah, much more. Like, I mean, I think people are underestimating how hard it can be for people who suffer from it.
Mm. Do you think that some people, regardless of their age, some people don't take this seriously enough?
Yeah, I do. I really do. Because, like, everyone thinks they're kind of
invincible.
Oh, sure, it won't happen to me type thing.
Yeah.
But it can happen to anyone.
And I was asking Kieran, do you have any idea how you might have gotten it?
Yeah. Like, I go to the local centre shop every now and then. Like, other than that, I don't really know. And it's really hard to tell because you can't really trace it with accuracy.
No, of course. So you can't say it was from sitting an hour in the company of somebody who had it. You don't know how you got it, really.
Yeah, like, it's beggar's belief, to be honest, I think. The other way.
All right, Claire, stay there for 1 second. 6797981 is our telephone number. You can text, WhatsApp, or send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877-989898. If you're somebody who was diagnosed with coronavirus, we want to hear from you. Over 12,000 people in Dublin have been, and as I said, in a percentage of the population, that's less than 1% of the population of Dublin, but still, it's a significant amount of people. It is the whole of Hill 16, when it's full, who were diagnosed positive with COVID-19. For some, it wasn't that bad an experience. For others, like Kieran, it was 16 days in intensive care on a respirator. If you've had an experience with this virus, let us know. We want to find out what it was like for you. Here's an interesting message, actually, I'm about to play for you from Paddy. And this is a conversation I had with somebody the other day. I was talking to somebody recently who is absolutely convinced that she had this virus just before Christmas. All of the symptoms, all of the breathing difficulties, the cough, the temperature, everything. But at that time, we didn't even know about it. Now, there's been suggestion that this has been with us longer than we ever thought it was. Paddy believes that he had it as far back as December.
Hi, Adrian. Just hearing about the coronavirus thing there. Yeah, that virus is around a lot longer than you think it is. It's actually, I got it on Christmas. And Stephen's Day, I got it. And I was down for about 3 weeks with it. Into the second week, I was really bad. Weak. Couldn't talk properly, just breathing was bad, coughing. But I went to the doctor and he put me on antibiotics, and he told me, he says, you're not the first one to come in with this. It's some kind of a virus, so you just make a home and rest it off. And after the second week, it wasn't too bad, but bone aches, shivers, sweats, everything was coming out. Like, breathing was bad. Even my eardrums swole up. I went deaf and everything. I couldn't even talk properly, but when I did recover from it, it took me nearly a month to come back to normal. My breathing and all was still bad, and even moving about, like when you move about, you're energyless, you're tired, you're worn down. So, and the whole family had it at home, and a lot of other people had it as well that I know of. So it's around since last year, late last year.
And like I said, Paddy, a lot of people believe that it was around longer than we ever thought it was. But there's no scientific backing for that. We didn't have a test for this back in December like we do now. And maybe it was. Like I said, it's been proven in parts of Italy that it was in Italy up to late last year. As I said, if you are one of the 12,000 people in the Dublin area, or the 25,000 plus people around the country who have been diagnosed positive with COVID-19, I would like to know what the experience was like for you. If it was nothing at all, very mild, not a bother, let me know. But if it was a serious illness, I want to hear. Because I do think that an awful lot of people don't take it seriously enough because they don't think it's serious. They don't think they're going to be sick. Kira, tell me about your mum and dad. They were diagnosed with coronavirus.
Yeah, my mum and dad had gone to Spain on holiday with a few other of my family members in March.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum had kind of got a cough while she was over there, but she thought nothing of it because anytime we go away, she gets a cough. She always thinks like from the air conditioning and stuff. So we thought that's just what it was. And Spain had gone into lockdown while they were over there, so they got an early flight home.
Oh, so they were one of the last to actually get home to Ireland?
Yeah, yeah, they got home, I think it was the day before they said was the last day. So, like, they had to pay €1,700 for new flights home with Ryanair. So, obviously, like, that's another kick in the teeth as well with the current situation that was going on. And then the night after they were home, my dad had started to get pains in his chest and in his lungs. And he has a heart condition, so they sent an ambulance to the house and they arrived in full PPE. And they came in to see if his heart was okay and stuff. And they said that his heart was fine, but they were going to put him in for a test for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Then my dad was like, oh, my wife has like the cough and stuff as well, like, will you put her in for a test or what's the situation there? And they put her in for a test then as well. But then it was like a week and a half later and the government had changed it to you had to have two symptoms.
Yes, because so many people were presenting for tests. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So my third doctor put them in then again for the test again to make sure that they got a test done. That was fine, but I think it was like another 2 weeks after that they actually got the test done. So that was fine. Like the day they got the test done, my mom was in bed, like she couldn't move, she'd no energy. She was.
And this is 2 weeks after coming home from Spain.
Yeah, 2 weeks after. Like, I think like she said, it's get really bad probably 4 days after being home. So she was quite ill for like a number of weeks because she was really ill and then she was better and she was sitting up and she was doing things and she was making dinner, but then she'd get really ill again and wouldn't be able to move and do anything.
So they had the test eventually, and we know how long the delays were with the tests at the very start. She had the test eventually and or they both did, and were they both positive?
My mom was negative and my dad was positive.
So it's quite likely that your mum had it as well.
Yeah, yeah. Our doctor said that she definitely did have it. There's no way that she didn't have it. And
but it just didn't. It just didn't show a positive in her test because it was so long after the event, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was so long. So.
And how are the two of them now?
They're perfect now. Like, there's not a bother on them now. Like, my dad's back to work and everything. But like, it did take them even when they were better, it took them another few weeks to fully, like, get their energy level back and be able to do things again. Because they, like, and even, like, with going to the shops and stuff, like, obviously, like, my mom and dad, like, they were both so scared. I think my dad only went to a shop for the first time, like, 2 weeks ago, even after being sick.
So while thank God they're both fine now, it took them a long time to get over it. It wasn't just like a bad cold for a week.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was nothing like that at all. Like my mom and dad said, like that they literally they wouldn't wish it on anyone to get the virus, because it's just so bad. The way it made them feel was just horrific.
Right, okay, but I'm glad to hear that they are over the worst of it. But didn't enjoy the experience. And from a lot of people that I've spoken to, it isn't a pleasant experience. Now, I've yet to talk to somebody who says they had it but had no didn't take a hair's breadth out of them. But because most people say, well, it actually knocked me much more than anything has in the past.
Yeah.
And that would be the case for your mum and dad.
Yeah, it's just like my mom would, like, she'd get the flu like nearly every like winter time, and she was just like, straight away when she got it, she knew that it was nothing like the flu. She was like, this like is just, I can't do anything. I can't breathe. Like, the most I can do is get up off the couch and go up to my bed. And even that was a struggle for her.
Mm. All right, but wish them well. I'm glad to hear that they're over the worst of it, but they wouldn't wish it on anybody is really the point.
Yeah.
All right, Ciara, thanks very much indeed. And if you've had an experience with COVID-19, if you were diagnosed positive, as I said, 12,000 people in Dublin were or have been. Thankfully, our case numbers are way, way down now and less people being diagnosed every day, which is fantastic. It means the lockdown thing was successful in stopping the spread of it. Anyhow, it's not gone away. And the point of this conversation is to just remind people that this can be quite nasty, and in some cases, very, very nasty. Donna, you're on 98FM. Hiya, Donna.
Hiya, how are you?
Now, you had this virus back in March.
Yeah, I started getting symptoms on Mother's Day.
Okay, yeah. Just at the start of all of this, yeah.
It just started as a sniffly nose, and I felt a bit tired, and myself and my partner were saying, God, imagine if it was, and we had no idea that it actually was that, because I just put it down as like, oh, it could be just a bit of a head cold or I'm tired, that could be it. But by the Tuesday, I was down and out.
And describe that to me. You were down and out in what way? What were your symptoms like?
I was lying on the bed. I couldn't get up out of the bed. If I was going downstairs, I had to sit down on the steps and go down like a toddler going down the stairs. Trying to go back up the stairs, my partner had to help me, and I was crying because I was in that much pain. The aches and the pains were just everywhere. It was like anyone that suffers with restless legs when you're going to sleep, it was like that times 10, and it was just agony. I tried lying on the floor at one stage to just have some sort of relief. And then my temperatures were soaring up to near 40. Nothing was bringing them down, and if it did, it was only bringing them down for about 20 minutes. I couldn't breathe. I have seasonal asthma, and I could go the whole year without taking my inhalers, but I used them like 4 times on Mother's Day, which should have been an inkling for me, but it wasn't, because like at the start of all this, I was one that was like, oh, it's going to be blown out of proportion, and I wasn't taking it serious. But then when it hit me, I wouldn't wish it on anyone, because it's absolutely terrifying. Like, I couldn't be near my kids for nearly a month.
It really does sound scary, I have to say. And I remember reading an interview or hearing an interview with Mary Lou MacDonald, who had it as well, and she was knocked sideways as well by the sounds of it. So at what point did you then go to get tested, and how long did that take?
My partner rang the doctor on the Tuesday morning, because he works in Tesco. And he was off work on the Monday, but he was due to go into work that Tuesday afternoon. So he rang the doctor just to see. And she listened to all the symptoms, and she put me forward for testing and told him not to go into work, that she'd do him up a cert for work.
Right.
And then I got a message 2 days later, because it was, I think it was the next day, the rule came in, like the girl before me was saying, that you needed more than just 1 or 2 symptoms. So I got a message saying I wasn't going to be tested. But then I just kept getting worse, and I was told that I wasn't eligible to be tested because I didn't have 5 out of 6 of the symptoms, I think it was. So then I ended up, just the two of us were like, well, maybe it's not it, maybe I'm just sick. But then my partner actually started getting aches and pains, and he had the the sore limbs and that for a couple of days, but then he was fine. Whereas I just kept getting worse and worse, and he wanted me to go to the hospital, and I kept saying, no, it's grand, they're after saying they won't test me, there's no point, there's enough to be doing. And then it got that bad that I couldn't eat, I couldn't drink, I couldn't sleep, but I was drifting in and out of consciousness.
My God, right.
I could barely talk, so he rang an ambulance, and I was brought to Navan Hospital. They did a chest x-ray and told me that it was just a lung infection, that they weren't going to give me antibiotics for it, that I'd be able to fight it myself, and sent me home. And they also said...
Sorry, did they test you?
No, but the doctor said it to me, he goes, I'm nearly sure you have COVID. And that was it. I was home within 3 to 4 hours. And it was 2 days later that he had to ring an ambulance again, because I was literally, you'd swear I was lying in a bath. The sweat was pouring out of me and the temperatures were up at 40, but I was shaking like a leaf. I couldn't go to the toilet without him carrying me in, and I was in agony. I had to keep stopping to try and breathe, and there was a toilet in my bedroom, like it's an ensuite, and I couldn't even make it there without stopping 3 or 4 times. When I'd stand up, he'd have to support me because I'd nearly collapsed. I had no energy, and he rang the ambulance, and I was rushed to Blanchardstown. And they were amazing there. As soon as I got in the ambulance, I was put straight on oxygen because my levels were so low, and they couldn't get needles into me because I was so dehydrated. And they were stuck then in the middle, because when you're on an IV drip with fluids, it's actually bad for your lungs to be on it for too long. So I was so dehydrated, but yes, I needed it, and my lungs were in a bad way. So they couldn't put me on it, so they had to wait and see if I could drink any water, and I actually couldn't keep it down. I'd take a mouthful and I couldn't keep it down, and I was vomiting, but because I couldn't breathe properly when I was vomiting, I was suffocating myself. So it just, without the staff, without at home, without my partner, I wouldn't have lasted, but the staff in Blanchardstown were just absolutely amazing. And
let me ask you then, Donna, were you eventually tested?
I got tested within an hour of being admitted into Blanchardstown, and I had the results back the next day.
And you were positive?
I was positive, yeah.
And that's what was... And do you mind me asking again, what age are you?
I just turned 33.
Oh my God, same age as the other two we were talking to earlier on.
Yeah, and the only problem I ever had was just the seasonal asthma, but I never had inhalers up till 2 years ago, and at that I'd use them once a year maybe.
That is really, really scary. So for people who are a little bit dismissive about this, we know, and it's great to see, every day I look at the figures, and it's great to see that we're down to under 10 cases every day. Great news, less people in ICU, less people in hospital, all of that is all great. But we know that it's not gone, and we know that there is a chance it might come back again. You obviously, from your experience, and I'm sure this applies to all the others who we've spoken to, would urge people to please keep this fight up and keep it away in terms of our social distancing and our hand etiquette and all that.
Yeah, well, you see, I have, like my partner's family, there's a couple of them that would have like underlying issues with asthma and things like that. So, like, even after I was given the all clear, we'd go up, but I'd be out in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
like
so people need to keep up the fight so that they don't end up like you. And like we said, for some people, in fact, I got a message there a while ago, if I can find it. My father, 87, tested positive, no symptoms, not a bother. And my mother, 82, no symptoms. So I think it's being overdiagnosed, says that message. But listening to your story, Donna, of how sick you really were, and the other callers that we have had on, this isn't something to be taken lightly or take a chance with.
Definitely not. And like I said, my partner and the doctor said it. Now, he wasn't tested, but the doctor even said he definitely had it, because obviously he was in close contact with me. But,
but that was never confirmed with the test.
For a few days, and the sore.
How are you now, Donna?
I'm fine now. I'm great. I'm able to go out walking and I'm doing the exercise, and like I've completely changed my lifestyle because of the scare I got. But every now and then, like even if I'm going to do my shopping, I bring the inhalers because my chest can get very tight.
Okay, which is something you'd never had to do before. So
no.
There might be some long-lasting impact. Well, I'm delighted to hear that you're mostly better, Donna, and I really appreciate you talking to us. Thanks very much indeed.
Thanks a million.
A lot of messages coming in about this. Myself and my husband are 32. My children are 10, 7 and 2. And this person says, my husband was COVID positive in March. Myself and three kids had all been in close contact. Things were so slow back then with testing that by the time he got his results, a few weeks had passed. And by the time they done contact tracing, myself and the kids had been sick and better. Kids were fine, slight temperature and a cough. I was okay. One night I got a fright with breathing, but then was fine. But I really don't believe the numbers released are true numbers. My husband was a bit sicker than me, more like a flu. So I agree. I think we all know that there are an awful lot of people who may have had this illness that we don't know about. Let me play a couple more messages. Donna, and this was mentioned earlier on, Donna also believes that this virus has been around a lot longer.
In regards to people saying that it was around in December, I remember when I was in work in December, I'd say half of our staff of 280 end up being homesick, sent homesick, calling in sick. We had signs all over the building saying, calling it the norovirus and warnings of the norovirus.
Okay, and finally, this woman is convinced also that her daughter had it way before March.
Hi 98FM. My 18-year-old was sick before Christmas with breathing problems, high temperature and a sore throat. We went to the local GP and he referred her to A&E as she had extremely high pulse and he was afraid that it was attacking her heart. She was kept just overnight in the A&E and they discharged her saying that she'd no infection. They were quite baffled and they said it's just a virus and to just take over-the-counter medicines and just try and keep the temperature down, come back in a couple of days if she wasn't any better. Thankfully, she recovered after a couple of days, but was quite sick for a week and just needed a lot of rest. So I do honestly believe that before Christmas in December, we had it here.
A lot of people do. And here's one final message. I had COVID back in March. I ended up in ICU with multi-organ failure. Ended up on dialysis because kidneys stopped working. My family got news that I was in a critical condition. I did come around after 2 weeks, 6 weeks in total in hospital. I'm so tired all the time, having intense physio. It's so serious and people not taking it seriously enough. I'm a nurse and I caught it in work. And in fact, we heard those figures yesterday that would shock you, that per head of population, more health workers contracted COVID-19 at work than in any other country in the world, which is a very scary statistic. Anyway, thank you very much indeed, all of you, for your calls. Interesting conversation. And the takeaway from me from this whole thing is to remember it's still around and remember it can be very, very, very serious.
98. Every morning from 10, 98FM's Dublin Talks keeps you up to date with COVID-19. Dublin Talks. Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.